Hello and welcome to Up the Smut. Why we have not created a jingle to go along with this, I don't know. Probably my singing voice is shit, and that's why.
And then I do enough singing as it is every episode. True. There's always something. I was already singing. We started the conversation and I was like, whoa, 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 caught in a dark romance. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We should have just stolen that. And made that. We should have a customized theme song for every episode. That's just like based around what we are choosing our theme to be. Because we just choose this willy-nilly. I read a dark romance this week. And so Michaela and I were like, let's fucking just talk about dark romances. And that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Dark romance recommendations. So
I pulled myself out of my bed. I've been in a dark romance with myself the past week.
That just makes it sound like you've been masturbating all week.
There has been no masturbation.
No. I can tell you She had COVID.
First time. I was so embarrassed.
In 2023, that's a good streak.
Yeah, it was a good streak. And then, because like, you know, when the perception of COVID is like, you're going to be coughing, it's going to be awful. I had so much mucus in my nose, it would not move. I was telling Kate, I had one of those.
Couldn't cough, couldn't sneeze. No, the
nasal irrigation thing. I'm trying to do it, and like it's 200 milliliters of water, which is, you know, like nearly a cup of water. And I'm like to my husband, I'm like, it's not working. Like, the water's not coming out. And he's like, oh, you must just be stupid. No, I had so much mucus in my nose that the water was trapped. So I had like half a bottle of water in my nose. I had people like, I posted a story and they're like, wow, you sound like shit. I'm like, love you too, bestie. Kate was just loving it. She's like, are you alive? Are you dead? I'm like, go on without me. There's a cat making a noise. The cats really got me through it, guys. But the worst part was everyone was sick, so I couldn't even wallow in my misery alone. I still had to parent.
No. And you have older kids. Like the whole point of raising them to self-sufficient age is that you don't have to put up with this bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they go and give you COVID.
You little motherfucker, honestly. And it was like, it was the blame game. It was like the Spider-Man meme. If you gave it to me and I was like, I could pinpoint the exact moment because I drink 3 liters of water a day, no negotiations. And it was Thursday morning and Theo says to me, oh, Mom, can I have a sip of your water? And I was like, yeah, no problem. Coincidence? No. I'm a Scorpio. I'm always going to find out where the point of infection is. And it was my fucking son. It's his birthday next week. See if he gets a fucking present. No, he will.
I love you. Don't worry. He's not listening. Unless he's like in the room behind you.
If he is listening, get off this now. Go to bed.
Why is he watching it at night only?
Exactly.
Like, listening to the podcast like under the covers. Read.
Silly, silly little boy.
There's so no reason to listen.
That was my trauma, guys. It was very sad.
Yeah. But look, you made it out the other end.
Mm-hmm, I did.
It was tough, but you did it.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not do that again in a hurry, but we did it.
No. I mean, you're not even out the other end all the way.
I don't sound the best. I do sound like a normal person. That was like Kate was
kind of... Yeah, you sounded like you were dead.
But I had like a normal
pitch. And of course she had the whole, it's definitely not COVID. It's not COVID.
Well, I was testing.
And like 3 days later, she was like, it's fucking COVID.
Well, I was like, it was, because I said that, like, you know, obviously I'm very responsible. I did 2 tests on the Monday, 2 on the Tuesday, and it was all of them are negative. And then at 11 o'clock at night, I'm like, tell me why I fucking just, like, I was going off like a frog in a sock. I was like, you're fucking kidding me, cunt. I'm fucking nervous. It was violent. Yeah. I don't know. That's just my trauma. 4 years too late for a global pandemic to be inside me. And then some guy came into my DMs and was like, you're pretty. And I was like, oh, not right now, sir. Like, not right now.
You're like, you do not want to do this. You don't want to play this game with me right now, sir.
I have all of the mucus that's ever existed in the world coming out of every orifice, and you have the audacity. And then my husband's laughing, and I'm like, fuck off, fuck it. Ah. But how are you?
I am doing quite well. I've actually had a string of just great, ridiculous reads. So yeah. I'm feeling very positive about life right now. I actually like did my speed rereads, which is like my favorite thing to do, where I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to pick some of my favorite books and reread some of my favorite scenes. So I read Choosing Theo by Victoria Aveline, and I just read like some really sexy scenes. It took me like 30, 45 minutes. Read Sins of the Orc by Finley Fenn. That's a novella. So I read almost the entire thing again. Then I speed read. It actually all started because I was reading Finley Fenn's newest release. And then I speed read all of her other books, all my favorite scenes from the rest of the series. Then Sins of the Orc. Then Choosing Theo by Victoria Aveline. Then like two other books. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to read Nero by S.J. Tilley.
Excellent book.
Yeah, Unhinged. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But first, so we're talking about dark romance. And so I told Michaela that I created kind of like a scale of dark romance. Like the levels of like the, I don't know, vibe. You know, whatever. It's not science. I literally did it while my son was taking a bath like 15 minutes ago. And here's kind of what I came up with, okay? So, bottom of the scale, very bottom of the scale, we have good guy does bad thing.
Yeah.
And this doesn't, it's not really dark romance, but it's dark in terms of, like, the good guy crosses a line somewhere. And my mind immediately went to Bass Ackwards by Eris Adderley, where he's literally, like, she wants a day off of work. She asks her boss for a day off of work, and he says, I'll give it to you if you fuck me. And that's, like, dark in a sense, right? It's not a dark book in terms of, like, he's, like, he's just, like, a 40-year-old man named Bill running, like, a U-Haul trailer rental place. And she's just, like, really needs the day off, and she's, like, fine, you can fuck me. And that is how the book starts. So it was kind of like, that's like where I can, you know, like some people would be like, I'm not reading a book where there's like, he's like not blackmailing her, but like he's there's that power exchange. But is it blackmail? I mean, or is it like bribery? He's not like holding information about her above her head.
Fucking lawyer? Do you want me to get my lawyer on the phone?
Honestly, if we brought a lawyer onto the podcast and asked them these questions, I would not be opposed.
My lawyer is incredible. She is a Capricorn. You can often see her commenting on my Facebook posts. She is
you
the
just
baddest
had a lawyer?
Bitch. Yeah. I've been arrested several times.
If I needed to call a lawyer, the closest thing I have is my ex-boss is like a corporate mergers and acquisitions lawyer. Like that's the closest thing I've got.
You need a criminal defense lawyer on your team at all times. That's my advice. Anyone under the age of my age, I don't know how old that is right now. Mickey E's got the brain fog, baby. But just make sure you have the name of a lawyer.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
Thank you.
From this conversation. Or at least just like remember a billboard. Like in America.
Medical school.
I don't know if Australia has billboards, what your situation is.
No. You just open the yellow pages when you're at the police station. Or so I've been told. So
definitely
when
never
reading
did it.
Bass Ackwards, because I read that book with my eyes as well, and I have like one of the many millions of people who have watched True Blood. Did you just keep auto-correcting his name to Bale in your head as well?
Because I was literally auto-correcting it to not the name Bill.
Oh, just Bale.
Just like that is the least sex. That's the point. It's supposed to be, like, the least sexy name out there because you're supposed to be, like, this is absolute insanity that there's a man named Bill and she is willing to have sex with him.
Well, I've got another non-sexy name in terms of dark romance because that's kind of, like, one of my prerequisites for me to believe in the dark romance is that he has to have an off-handle name.
Yes.
It can't be a normie.
It's a rule.
It can't be a normie name.
Yeah.
So that drives me insane. What's the next level on your scale of dark romance?
Okay, so this was dark themes, like external darkness, but the relationship itself is not dark. So when I was saying that, I was thinking like Only James, the Necessary Evil series, where they're like fighting pedophiles, they're fighting murderers, they're vigilantes, they're slaughtering people, torturing people, but they're torturing bad guys. And then when you see the relationships, they're kinky relationships, but they're like loving relationships. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's kind of like the next vibe in a sense, where it's like they're good guys, again, like, but doing bad things, but worse things. But it doesn't impact the relationship.
Yeah.
I also was thinking, what else did I write? I don't know if I believe. Well, I was also thinking, like, this kind of falls into, like, the biker gang books, yep, in a sense, too. Like, I was thinking, like, Kate C. Wells, where they're not, like, good guys, mm-hmm, but they're, like, not, they're not hurting their women, they're not kidnapping their women, they're just guys in the biker gang, you know? Then I went into, now we are in, there's darkness inside the relationship, mm-hmm, in a sense, but this is where it's like more like the morally gray guy. And this is, you know, there are overlaps in these as well. Yeah. But this is where I was thinking, like, overall, he's a good guy, mm-hmm, but he's, again, like, in a bad situation, but he's also, like, these are the guys who, like, kidnap a woman. This is S.J. Tilly's guys.
Yeah.
They will kidnap a woman to enforce her to marry them, mm-hmm, but they will, they're, like, they're in, like, the mob or mafia or something in Minneapolis, but they won't, they draw the line. They have boundaries. Mm-hmm. They don't traffic women.
No.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, even Nero and King, the two books I just read by Esther Tilly that I will go into later, they're like fighting, like they're like taking down sex traffickers. And I'm kind of like, do you have the time for this? Like, they run like $1 billion, like, dark world, underworld. And they're like murdering a guy who like kidnapped a girl off the street, like one girl off the street.
They made the time.
Yeah, they made the time.
They had the time.
But he still like kidnapped his bride to get her to marry him.
Yeah. They've got those Beyonce 24 hours. They're not the normal people 24 hours. Yeah. They're the Beyonce 24 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Then it went into bad guy who is gentle with his woman.
Yeah.
So that, or man, if we're going at, because I read a lot of dark romance too. But bad guy who gains humanity because of the other partner in the book. Mm-hmm. And this I was kind of thinking like Lap of Luxury by Brianna Hale, which I also just sped read. That was also one of the ones where he's like, he's still bad, but he would do anything for his woman. But he will also probably like just kill guys for annoying him. But then again, like King also kind of falls into that because he does kill people who just annoy him. Then we have bad guy turns heroine bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is where I'm at.
Or hero, you know, partner bad, which is like, mm-hmm, you have like a bad guy who then brings in this goody two shoes partner, or she or he is not privy to this like dark world, and they become evil as well. This is like, yep, where the book ends, where like she shoots a guy and now they're both like the heads of this underworld. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really think of a specific, I've read some, but nothing specifically came to mind on that one. And then it ended with the Twist Me series by Anna Zares. It ended with a specific book. That's the level, which is like, they are like the worst people that I've ever read. Those books are insane. So, and then I left like caveats in there for like inhuman guys, because, mm-hmm, like when you have like a monster romance,
yeah,
the monsters might have like different rules, or they might be in a different society where he's not evil in his society, but he's evil to like the humans, like morality. And that just has, that's like its own, like,
his own moral code, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Your mind is the most incredible thing I have ever experienced. Like, I don't have any brain function currently, and I am, this is the public declaration that I am so honored to call Katie Cakes one of my closest friends. The absolute, like, how did you think of that when your son was having a bath? Like, fuck yes. I love it. Yeah. I could actually think of books that slot into every single one of those categories.
And I'm sure other people have other, yeah, like, tiers and suggestions. And I believe there are things that are darker. I've read a couple Addison Cain books, mm-hmm, Omegaverse Addison Cain books, where I'm like, should Addison Cain be in jail for writing this? Maybe.
Probably.
I'm just putting that out there. Like, I've got to say, I read Anna Zares But I had to stop reading Addison Kane because it was too dark for me.
Ooh.
Like, and I read a lot of dark shit, and I was, like, uncomfortable. It See, borders into, like, I don't really like to read strict non-con. I don't mind body betrayal syndrome, where the heroine is, like, it's non-con, but you're in the heroine's brain, and she's enjoying it. And, like, I know some people fucking hate that. Like, there's a whole subreddit thread where people were, like, just murdering that trope. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. Shit, that was present in, like, 90s contemporary romances. Yeah. So I'm like, some of them on my shelf, I'm like, okay. This is, like, basically dark romance sold in a grocery store. 100%. But I had to end up but Addison Kane, a few of her books crossed into, like, nobody was enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? And it was so, they were so mean. Yeah. I want, like, a dark guy worshiping the other person. Like, he wants her because he's so obsessed with her, because he's so in love with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with the non-con and the dub-con. Like, there is a lot of books that are sort of out there like that. I do feel like we, as a society, have been completely brain damaged from the song Love the Way You Lie by Eminem and Rihanna.
Because it's a great music video.
Okay, exactly right. So this is, like, that's what we perceive as, like, a toxic relationship. It's two attractive people yelling at each other, burning a house down. I have been in relationships that are like that, and you know what? They didn't fucking last.
No.
That's why
it's fantasy.
Yeah, like,
Jesus Christ.
I do have three dead ex-boyfriends if this is your first time tuning in. And now I'm married to just a normal person, and people grow up. Like, this is the thing. And I do what I always do when Kate's like, we're doing this for an episode, what do? I jump onto Goodreads, I click the tag of dark. And listener, when I tell you that one of the dark books that popped up was Verity by Colleen Hoover, I nearly threw my phone into the Brisbane River and said, get fucked. I'm not doing this episode. Whoever is in charge of tagging those things, please don't do that. You've just really upset me. That was the only thing I could think about for a solid 45 minutes.
On the romance book subreddits, I think I might have mentioned this, maybe in the other podcast or, like, last episode or just on my stories, but somebody tagged on romance.io, which is, like, a great website for, like, you can find trigger warnings for books, content warnings. You can find very specific tags, kinks, things like that. It's a great website. That's romance.io. I have no skin in this game, or whatever that phrase is. I just really like them. But somebody tagged Soul Eater by Lily Maine as, like, historical romance. And so at the end of each month, the subreddit does, like, a list of what everybody, like, the top most recommended books, and they used, like, romance.io to do it, so that it came up under, like, top historical romances recommended, and I screenshot it to Lily Maine, and I was like, look, you made it, and she was like, that is wildly inaccurate and hilarious, because for those who don't know, Soul Eater is a dystopian contemporary monster romance, so for it to end up on, like, the historical romance, No, it takes place in, like, 2020, like, present day.
That would be like saying that Colleen Hoover is a romance novelist.
Yeah, just as weird as that. Just as weird. But anyways, why don't you start with a
okay?
What are you reading dark romance wise? What have you read?
Okay, so I just need to say, guys, dark romance, I read a lot of it because I've said this a million times. I read dark romance when I don't want to be in a reading slump, because I'd never care about any characters from any dark romance novel I've ever read. Couldn't care if they all died on the next page and, like, halfway through the book I'm being introduced to a new couple. But there was one series that I did like, and I have all of the paperbacks, which is really funny. It's by Callie Hart. It's called The Crooked Sinners Trilogy. But a massive trigger warning for these books that nobody talks about, that it is absolutely nowhere, is every single one of these female main characters has been sexually assaulted by someone related to them. All three of them. I won't go into any specific spoilers, if you do want to know, obviously DM me. These books kind of like, they were sort of described as like dark romance, but they're just artistic sad boys at a boarding school, basically. The first book follows Ren with a W and Elodie. Mm. Elodie is a new girl at the school and Ren is like...
I think I read the prequel of this. It was in an anthology. It was the prequel called Riot House or like an intro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I really liked it, but it was like at the time I read the anthology, it was like the book isn't coming out for like a year. And I was like, I have already forgotten it. That is too long for me.
Exactly. They're all out now, baby. They're on Kindle Unlimited. Okay. The third book is actually the fucking best book. Okay. So the first book is Ren and Elodie. And you think that it's going to be a bully sort of romance as well. So the dark romance and bully romance kind of go hand in hand to me personally. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. It was just Ren like simping for this girl, sort of a bit of a dark academia vibe. The second book is this guy Dash. He's like a lord or something. He's British. And a girl Carrie, who's friends with Elodie, of course. But the third book is the piece de resistance, Pax. Pax is emotionally stunted. He is an absolute goober, does not know how to do anything. And Presley has had a crush on him for 4 years. And she like freezes when she talks to him. So of course Pax is a loose unit. He's like telling people to get fucked, like, you know, throws shit at teachers. They're stuck in like a fucking academy. It's so dumb. But Presley, you know, something happens with Presley with a family member. I'm just going to say that, guys. So please like underline. And anyway, so Presley sort of undergoes a bit of a rebirth of sorts. Pax finds her when she's like bleeding to death at the front of a hospital. And Presley decides she doesn't want to be afraid anymore, and it cues a lot of amazing hot sex between them.
Mm. Well, so. I just wrote it down because I'm like, okay, I remember liking, I didn't like many books in that anthology because I think it was a bully anthology.
Yeah.
So it's weird. It's interesting that you're saying that it didn't end up being a bully because the prequel gave super bully vibes. And another part of my hesitance was that out of all dark, I can handle like, dumb con, borderline non-con. I can handle pretty much like, and I do not have trigger warnings. I mean, I don't have triggers. I have trigger warnings before you get to know me. But you know, like I have not yet, I appreciate trigger warnings and I understand their purpose. I just have not yet needed one at this point in my life. But I will say I'm not a huge fan of bully romances. I can't really get behind the idea. Like, I want bad guys simping for their women. I don't want bad guys bullying, being mean to their women. I don't want that. No, I want them to, like, they're kidnapping him or her because they're, like, fucking obsessed and can't live without her or him. I don't want anyone being mean to anybody unless it's because, the hero heroine on the other end is misinterpreting.
Oh yeah,
like you kidnapped me. Yes, that's being mean, but you don't understand that he can't not kidnap you. It is like he has to.
Yeah, and like bully romance in my mind, it's like. There is, like, nothing that really redeems it. This is why I just don't care. Like, I just – dark romance is my go-to, and I'm like, I just need something, a palate cleanser, which is insane to say about dark romance that usually involves, you know, murder.
Sometimes the books get too sweet, and you have to, like – you need to interrupt.
Well, I did. When I was in my COVID haze, I reread a really cute little sports romance that's super low angst. There wasn't even, like, a third act breakup, and I could vomit because I was so happy. For the characters, I was literally like, this is painful. So then I was like, now I need to read a stalker romance. I need to actually read Haunting Adeline. I've got that out on Kindle Unlimited.
Maybe we'll do a next podcast episode. We can both read Haunting Adeline because I've also never read it.
Well, I've read Satan's Affair. So Satan's Affair is when we actually meet that guy Zaid, and it's like this weird sex circus chick Sibby.
Brilliant.
It's like a why choose she just like fucks all of the guys. I read it for Halloween last year. But it's really like, to me, it's funny because this is also the same effect that, you haven't read Den of Vipers, have you?
No.
Okay. So that's by K.A. Knight. And to me, that's like Haunting Adeline and Den of Vipers are one of those runaway book talk books that are like, I don't think that they're that bad. Like, I read Den of Vipers when it was released, and people are like, I've seen YouTube videos like, oh my God, I read this book where this chicken, it's just like, oh, that's just like a normal book. You know, I guess I do. I had a weird childhood, guys. So me. Yeah, that was fine. That was normal. There was a scene actually, because I did start reading Haunting Adeline. I sent it to Kate. And it was like, this man, I can see him standing. I'm like, why is this guy acting like fucking Tuxedo Mask from Sailor Moon? Like, honestly, it was just like, what the fuck?
And then all I had to say was, I have never seen Sailor Moon. I do not understand that reference. And so never seen Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. When I had COVID, guess what I watched? The first Hobbit movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've heard they're not great.
Well, I had COVID, so everything was good.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. You should have rewatched 365 Days on Netflix or watched it.
Me through? So this has gotten me through two rounds of postnatal depression and now COVID. Charmed. Best fucking TV show in the world.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I used to watch it when it was like on TV.
Same. That's how old we are, guys. Little old ladies with our walkers. Come back. The power of three will set us free, but the power of two will just have to do. What have you got? Have you got any recommendations? Or do you want me to keep... Whoa, whoa, whoa.
No, I will interject with a recommendation. I did want to add, though, because I just remembered, most of the reason I don't like bully romance is because I have never read a bully romance that took place with adults. And I know people say Against the Wall by Kate C. Wells is a bully romance. I don't believe it is. That is not what I think when I think bully romance. I think bully romance is like a dark theme. So... his like light teasing that she internalized because she was bullied by the town. Like, I don't know.
Like,
people have very mixed reactions to the book Against the Wall.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying. But I think it's because I don't like reading books about teenagers running underworlds.
Yeah, it's
I don't. Who would follow a teenager? Mm-hmm. Leader of an underworld.
If you don't look like Tony Soprano, I don't want it. Do you know? Like, there's no way. There's no way there's a little hottie boy who does his hair with gel. He's like, he is a Tony Soprano. I've actually got my
He weighs like 125 pounds. Yeah, he weighs like nothing.
I've got my French nails on at the moment. It's like, your dad and I aren't letting you have any Mario Kart. It's like, that's the TikTok sound.
That I would read a book with Tony Soprano as the MC.
Fuck yeah.
And I bet it I bet it is written by Jessica Kane. Take a shot.
Take Jessica. No, you and I are gonna we're gonna write that book.
Okay. A Tony Soprano fan fiction.
Absolutely. And that man knows how to eat pussy. I just know it. Like, I know that Tony Soprano goes to absolute fucking town.
Great. Now that is in my head. I'm gonna have to go read 16 books tonight before bed to get that out. Yeah. Okay, well, let's just go right into it. I would like to discuss, and again, if you hear us say the title of a book and you don't want that spoiled, like, just cover your ears for like 3 minutes. I'm not going to go too in depth, but because I want you guys to read these books if it sounds interesting, so I don't want to spoil it. But I read Nero and King by S.J. Tilley. Two separate books. Nero is the first book, N-E-R-O, because I feel like every time I say the word Nero, it sounds weird.
It sounds better for an Australian to say it. Nero.
Did it sound better? Did Nero. That sound better? Nero. It's hero with an N. And the second book is King. And I have to say, I liked the second book more than the first. I didn't hate the first book. The second book was...
Great. I will say that I am friends with S.J. Tilley, and I actually haven't read King yet because I've been in a bad mood. Here it was. I had my period, so bad mood. Then I got COVID, bad mood. Getting period again, so also bad mood. So King's out, but I haven't read it yet. But Kate has read it, and she was telling me about it. I was like, fuck, that sounds so good, but I'm in a bad mood, so I can't read it yet.
I did send her. I was just like, I think S.J. Tilley has really questionable morals.
Mm-hmm. She's an Aries. Of course she does.
Yeah. And Michaela was like, spoil it for me. Yeah. Spoil what you're talking about for me. I don't want to spoil. If you saw my story like, I don't want to spoil that because I think that happens towards the end and it is probably a pretty wild one. But it's basically like two dudes in the running the underworld. I think Nero's technically like in, I don't know who's in charge. Is Nero technically in charge?
Yeah.
In like the first book, King was kind of like Nero's sidekick. And then the second book, it felt more like Nero was King's sidekick. So maybe I'm like,
The Jay and Silent Bob, they're like hetero life partners, you know, like it's both sure. running the show. And the best part is they're like mid to late 30s. So it's realistic.
Yeah, actually, I think King is 45.
45? Okay.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe he is 45 because wow. they say he's like 25 years older than his stepsister, who's like 20.
Oh, what's her name?
Val.
Okay, yep.
His other sister's name is Aspen.
Are you sure it's Val? I think I named Aspen.
Yeah. Aspen's a bitch.
Yeah. I love her. That's me. That's how I'm trying to be. Aspen.
So Nero is basically, oh God, do I even remember? Because I read King right after and now that all that's in my head. I finished King like 2 hours ago. So that's what's in my head. But yeah, Nero is like, you know, the dark underworld guy falls for a like sweet virgin working at a coffee shop thing, you know, like that. And he like brings her into the fold. He's obsessed with her. Yeah. So it was good. But King was like unhinged. King's like, and I'll just, this is like chapter one. Heroine Savannah shows up to a friend's house with a platter of lasagna. Her friend just had back surgery. She brings her new kind of boyfriend along. It's been three dates. And she's already resigned to dumping Lee is his name. His name is Leland. This is like the eighth book I've read where like the bad, like the asshole's name is like Leland. Wow. Such an asshole name. But they walk into the house. It turns out two other friends are there. Aspen and King. Leland is Aspen's husband. So he gets introduced as Savannah's new boyfriend, walks in and finds Aspen with her, like, Lord of the Underworld brother. But then all hell breaks loose. Aspen shoves Savannah. The lasagna drops to the ground and shatters. And they leave. Later, Savannah shows up. Oop, I hit the mic. Savannah, this isn't even later. This might even be the same chapter. Savannah shows up at Leland's house. She forgot her keys. They fell out of her purse in his apartment. Shows up in time to watch King put a bullet in Leland's head.
Yes.
Yeah. So then King's like, okay, well, now I got to kidnap you. Like, ugh. I got to kidnap this, like, plus-size girl whose thighs make me, you know, like, how lucky for him. Yes. That he, like, she's his exact type. And now he has to kidnap her. Okay, it's King.
Hard sell, honestly.
Yeah. But then he's like, you know what? I'm going to marry this bitch so she can't testify against me in court.
Gossip Girl vibes. I love it.
Yeah. So then that is how they get together. And I love it. I sent Michaela a quote where she's just like, he leaves her a bunch of like, he leaves her Pop-Tarts, some sort of chips or something, and like a package of beef jerky. Like when after he kidnaps her, he just like leaves it on a platter in the room. And she's like... I might die, but I'm not going to die hungry. And she like eats like the entire box of Pop-Tarts. And I was just like, this is an off the wall book. This is unhinged. Like, this
That's
is amazing.
That's like the sort of shit that my dad was leaving at my front door.
Oh my God. Tell them what your dad was fucking leaving for you.
Okay. So I can tell you now, like my dad would eat like Kate's 2-year-old son. Like just, well, he's not even 2 yet. Sorry. I'm sorry. I've aged your child up. So on the first day, he dropped over pistachio gelatos to keep my morale high because they're my favorite. The next day, he bought 2 cans of Coke, 2 cans of lemonade, 5 bread rolls. There were 6 in the packet, but he took one out because he wanted one for himself. A block of chocolate. The next day, just all of these things, just there was just bread rolls. At the end of it, guys, we had 5 blocks of chocolate. 14 ice creams. We'd eaten about two, like every day there was cans of Coke, cans of lemonade. I was like, you don't want to like maybe like paracetamol or like, you know, medicine of any sort.
Maybe like a Gatorade and some electrolytes or something.
And he's like, he's shocked. He lives by himself, my dad. And he's like, oh, have you eaten all of that ice cream yet? And I'm like, who would have eaten all of that ice cream? He's like, well, I could do a liter in like 2 days. I'm like, how is your gastrointestinal tract? Because dad, like when I was growing up, it was normal there. I had a vegetable. I had like cooked meat. But now dad's just like, you know what? I'm going to eat like an unsupervised 2-year-old. So that was what was happening there. So yeah,
I can see direct parallels between them.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Like they just have a marshmallow for dinner, or 10.
And this is the series where like we talked about the scale. I mentioned it. Where like they're bad guys. Like King at one point, like some guy like grazes Savannah's tits on purpose, but like gropes her, and he follows the guy into the bathroom and breaks both of his arms. So it's like that was probably unnecessary. I mean, the guy was an asshole, but like. Mm-hmm. But then he's also like kidnaps a guy and kills him because he like snatched a woman off the street. Mm-hmm. So like they have morals. Yeah. He even says at one point, he's like, I don't hit women. I don't do anything with women. I don't do anything with children. Like in terms of like their badness. I think they're just like, it's like Kate C. Wells where the bikers aren't bad. Like they're not like your typical biker. Like they've now invested in like Bitcoin or some shit. So they're like filthy rich. And they just like work security job, like they're like above board, but it's just like funny how authors will be like, no, like they're it's dark because they're like bad boy vibes, but they're actually like Bitcoin investors. And I love it. I'm like, yeah, I don't want the real biker culture, which is like seriously fucked up. Like I don't find guys who are in that attractive or hot at all. They're like doing drugs all the time. They're having like. Fucking orgies with unwilling women. Like, no, I'm not. Well, that is not.
Sold that lie from Sons of Anarchy. Like, this is the other thing. Like, Eminem's Love the Way You Lie and Sons of Anarchy have completely, they've basically lobotomized us. Mm-hmm. And look, that's not a bad thing to be lobotomized. I mean, like, what a thrill. But it ain't like that. Do you know what I mean? And they just, they do not look like this. This is why we read fiction.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. They do not. Ooh. That, yeah. I don't want to look at a real biker guy.
No, thank you.
Probably like a horny Santa. But like with naked women tattooed all over him. That's what I picture. Speaking of Kate C. Wells, though, obviously you guys have heard me recommend Run, Posey, Run and Nikki the Driver before. These are both kind of falling into like they are bad guys doing bad things. But again, like there's the whole like they aren't doing anything with women. They are, although they do kill a guy for wronging them and then like force the woman to marry Nikki. But still, like they're not bad guys. Like Nikki's just like neurodivergent and obsessed with the heroine and like has been stalking her since he was like 14 years old. Like, can you blame? Like, there's like a flashback at one point where he, it's like really sweet. When he was like a kid, like 15, she's like 2 years younger than him or something. He was, they might have been in the same grade. It doesn't matter, Kate. Move on. He steals her car and brings it to a mechanic shop so it can get like a full workup so she can be driving a safe vehicle. And then he just like sneaks it back to her driveway. And they don't get together for another like 16, 17 years.
This is why I don't drive, because men will be doing shit like that to me. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, like it's that. Like he's unhinged. He literally like buys her basically. He does a favor for the mafia bosses and they reward him for this favor by, I don't remember the heroine's name, but by like giving him the heroine as a bride. They're like, you need to leave your fiance and marry Nikki instead, or like we'll kill your whole family. And she does. But trigger warning for this book. The heroine suffers from an active eating disorder. She is not in recovery. It is an active binge eating disorder. So it did get, I've heard it is very well done. I don't have knowledge of like eating disorders really, but I've heard it's very well done, but it very triggering to people who are suffering from this as well. So or living with an eating disorder, just an FYI. But Run, Posey, Run's kind of the same thing where it's like, he is a bad guy. But only because he's like, he just wants Posey. And then once he has her, he's like, okay. Like, I'm pretty cool. I'm just going to keep doing Bitcoin. They're always doing Bitcoin.
That's a made-up job.
T.T. Wells really likes Bitcoin.
That's a made-up job.
I don't think he's – or he's, like, trading stocks and bonds or some shit.
Also
I just love
it. Like, at one point, fraud.
At one point, they're, like, sitting at a dinner and, like, they insult Posey. And so he just makes them, like, with, like, two taps of his phone, they lose, like, $15 million. And everybody gets an alert on their phone at the same time. And he's like, that's what happens if you're mean to her. And then he quickly, like, earns them $30 million. He, like, trades more in, like, 15 seconds. And now they're all filthy rich and they celebrate. And they're like, we won't be mean to Posey.
If you've ever made money from Bitcoin, please inbox me because I don't believe that you exist. Like, for sure not. Okay?
Actually, my husband's best friend, his brother, who was, like, 2 or 3 years younger than us, or than me and Rob, called Rob's best friend up at, like, 3 a.m. one morning and was like, give me all of your savings. I'm going to invest it, I think, in Bitcoin. Invest it in Bitcoin. They become multimillionaires, like, overnight. And so now they're millionaires.
Well, good for them.
Then when the Bitcoin market, like, tanked, Rob texted his friend and was like, are you, like, standing on the ledge of a very tall building right now? And his friend was like, nah, I'm cool. I've diversified. He's like, I didn't just put all my money in that. He's like, I diversified. But we were, like, genuinely worried for a second. We were like, are you okay? So this I do know somebody.
This devolves into me talking, just screaming, eat the rich. Always. Yeah. Every episode without fail, it sends me on one of my left-wing rants. And, like, oh, yeah. Every day, every fucking day, I am tested.
Do you have any dark billionaires besides, like, Nero?
No.
And King?
No. Never. Mm. Oh. Never any dark billionaires. Never. I have some serial killer romance.
They're already dark. They're already dark, like, in real life.
It's a fantasy fucking romance. A bloody billionaire romance. I do. I've got serial killers. Mm. I've got a book that I sort of hated. Well, I've read 5 of them and then I just decided to not continue on because the author's not for me. Got a book that's been kicking around since 2015. Got a bit of everything, doll. What do you want?
I want the 2015.
Oh, no. Well, this one, you know this one. It's the Devil's Night series by Penelope Douglas.
Oh, yeah, but I haven't read it.
Look, I read the first book and I could not get a hard on because the guy's name was Michael. That's me dad's name. What are you talking? Michael? Like, fucking Michael? No.
Not for you.
Nah, not for anyone. Are you serious?
I've only read one book. Like, yeah, I guess I don't read. If I do read a book where his name is, like, Michael, he never goes by Mike. And, like, a Thomas never goes by Tom.
But Michael, because this is the thing. So the Penelope Douglas books, they've actually been picked up by Penguin.
I did not know that.
Well, I mean, like, I barely had a child. I have barely had 2 children when this book was released. And I still hear about it. It's everywhere. You know, the whole Devil's Night series. They're redoing the covers. I think that, like, this is honestly, like, the comeback tour. Like, you know how there's always, like, someone who's retiring? It's like the rest in peace Tina Turner, like, this is her last show, this is this, but nah, like, the Devil's Night series, I see that everywhere. Like, we're getting rid of the newcomer, we're doing this, and, you know, good for Penelope Douglas, you know, get that bag, baby. But that's, like,
I've never read a Penelope Douglas at all.
I think I've got one on the shelf. Fall Boys, maybe. I know that Birthday Girl is getting released as well, so it's going to be nice and cheap.
That's the one I've heard about the most.
Yeah, I think I read some of it, maybe on my birthday, because I wanted to be funny. Not that I really have to try to do that anyway, but yeah, I mean, I think I actually stopped the Devil's Night series because there is a girl named Winter in it. And I was like, that's not a made-up name. That is my daughter's name. So
tell
stop
them about the Elsie Silver book.
Oh, someone was like, oh, this Elsie Silver book. This is the cowboy romance. And I don't know, like, I think that we also need to discuss the fact that a lot of those people are probably pretty right-wing, but that's a conversation for another time, guys. Anyway, so the Elsie Silver, someone's like, oh, their names are Winter and Theo. I'm like, that's me kids' names. We're not doing that. No.
Bad enough one, but to have two?
Yeah, well, there was a kid named Remy in a, well, a guy named Remy in a book that I was reading. That's Kate's kid. I was like, fuck. I was like, whose goddamn white baby is this? Like, I was like, nah.
That reminds me that while I was still breastfeeding, my friend Shayna recommended a book.
I love Shayna.
Yeah, the heroine's name, or the hero, it was an MM, but his name was Remy. And I was like, you bitch. Like, how could you do this to me? I'm like, and she was like, oh my God, I didn't even, like, literally did not cross my mind. I still read it, but I don't know if I could do it if it was, like, both characters were my kids' names. I could maybe, like, put it aside for one, but if it was both, mm-mm.
No, never. Never the fuck again. No. Never the fuck again. So that was my Devil's Night rant. And then, you know, check off the list as well, guys, doing the drinking game. If Michaela goes on a money is fake and Elon Musk is my nemesis again.
I mentioned Lap of Luxury by Brianna Hale earlier. It's part of the, you know, I don't even... Sometimes I whip my phone out and I'm just like, what's the name of the series again? I don't know.
Sometimes I forget where I am when I'm doing this. I'm just mid-thought. Things just come out of my mouth and then I'm like, oh, you're recording a podcast. Hello.
It's the Love Don't Cost a Thing series. Mm-hmm. And I love the second book though. So the first book is like, again, like bad guy. He's like a head of a Russian mafia situation. And someone embezzles, they catch like this guy embezzling a ton of money. Before they can do anything about it, he and his wife are killed like in a car accident overseas. So they decide, well, his like evil brother from book two decides, we're going to get our money back from the daughter, who's like this beautiful like college student. And so the brother really just wants to put her like in one of their strip clubs, like against like her will, basically. And like he's like, you can earn it, like earn it real fast. So they kind of cross into the, like, they're bad guy. Like, he's, like, a bad guy. Like, they clearly, like, don't really have a lot of boundaries. And, but the good brother, book one brother, decides he's going to his secretary, Bethany, is like, hey, you should be her, sugar daddy. She's like, I will befriend her. I will suggest she become, like, a sugar baby. You guys can match, and then you can funnel her money to get your brother off her back. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, book one. Book two, Demir, the evil brother, finds out, and before he can, like, kill his brother and the girl, the brother flees with the girl. I forget her name. Book one, it was good, but, book two is where it's at. Flees and takes down the entire empire. He's, like, sends everything to the FBI to try and get his brother, like, in jail, basically. His secretary, Bethany, misses the call. So she shows up to work the next day. And Demir is there. And he, like, they've already had a moment. Like, the book, like, starts with her going to drop up. Best start to a book. She shows up to, like, deliver papers. Some guy shows up to, like, kill Demir. They end up, like, bloody fight all over. The guy has a knife. They both have knives. The guy like shows up with a knife. I'm not really sure why he chose a knife and not like a gun, which would have solved this whole problem really fast, but has a knife. They fight over the knife. Demir wins. The guy flees. Bethany, it turns out she's a virgin, but she gets incredibly turned on by like horror movies. Like she always pictures like Jason chasing her and like fucking her and then killing her. Like she, like that's like her fantasy. Ooh. And so she, like, it's very turned on, and he ends up giving her, like, multiple, like, standing orgasms with his, like, bloody hand, basically.
Incredible.
And she's, like, yeah. She's, like, the book, like, start. Like, that's, like, beginning. So then Demir's, like, I'm gonna fucking take this girl, and I'm gonna use her to find my brother, to kill my brother, and, like, that bitch he ran off with. But I'm also gonna, like, we're gonna play lots of scary games. Like, he, like, lays traps and, like, he lets her think she can escape and then fucks her. There is, like, drugs at one point where he, like, drugs her with, like, a euphoria drug of some sort that, like, makes her – so they can do anal. Oh. It is wild. The sweetest part, though, is when he finds out that – no, and this isn't really a spoiler. I don't think it really ruins any of the plot. But he finds out that she has, like, no real friends. Oh. and no family. So no one reported her missing. He like Googles her and he's like, why aren't you reported missing? He like shoves the laptop in her face. He's like, what the fuck? And she's like, I don't have anyone to report me missing. So the man reports her missing. He's like, fuck it. I'm going to fucking report you missing. Someone needs to know you're gone. Like, someone should be out there looking for you. And I was like,
what?
My heart was just like,
pitter patter.
So that's like just my favorite, absolute favorite fucking part of the book. And it's not even like sexual. It's just like, he's like, fuck this. I will report you missing. And I was like, aww. It's very like 365 days vibes on like that Netflix movie or whatever.
Yeah, so, like, I love the guy, that. Like, there's actually
the
one
fucking montage on the boat.
Yeah, Amazon, there's a new one. I uncovered it last week.
The new movie's out?
No, a different one. It's called My Fault. My Fault. It's on Amazon. Spanish. Nobody does it better than the fucking Spanish. And it was a Wattpad book. I saw someone on TikTok. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, like, if you're looking for this, it's like, this is, you didn't uncover this, hun. Like, it's fine. I get it. We get excited about things, but there is a process. And then the other problem is like, when people want their favorite romance novels made into movies, you have to realize that that's what they're going to be, baby. You know what I mean? No. Like, have that come to Jesus moment where if a book's whole plot is someone fucking, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be after. It's going to be my fault, my fucking way, whatever the fuck it's called. That's what it is. Or just put on some porn.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You don't actually.
I'm on fire today. I'm like screaming.
You don't actually want, like, you want your favorite books to be movies, but you don't actually want your favorite books to be movies.
No,
it'll ruin it. Although I like The Hating Game. I thought the movie was fine.
I loved The Hating Game. I can't focus on a fucking movie. My mind is the movie.
They did as best they could.
I am the star, the director, and the executive producer. This is Real Housewives of Romance reviewer.
What's your other? What else you got?
I've got already
at almost an hour.
I know. And 45 minutes of that has just been me screaming. So I've got a couple of serial killer kind of little romances. We've got Born Darkly by Trisha Wolf. This is for the people who have brain damage from the Joker and Harley Quinn. She is his psychiatrist. Obviously a major HIPAA vibes violation in this one. He's like a serial killer. They just start fucking. What else can I tell you guys? Like, all you need to know, serial killer, psychiatrist, weird game of cat and mouse. This is kind of like a bit romantic suspense as well. It's a little bit sort of more grown up. You're not really going to get any of the vibes of like, I don't know. He is like a bad man. And then another one sort of in that vein is from Sophie Lark. And that is There Are No Saints.
I've heard of that one. It has like snakes on the cover. Or like, is it a duet?
It's a duet, completed as well for like a while ago, actually. So this guy is an artist and he kills people. And you know what? For a serial killer romance, I feel like he didn't really kill that many men or women or whoever the fuck he kills. Like, he doesn't kill that many people. I feel like his body count is like less than six in the two books. Is
he killing them for his art or are they unrelated?
Yeah, it's both. And it just turns out that he was an ignored rich kid. That's kind of why he does what he does. But I also got the visual.
No good reason.
The way that he's described, it just made me think of Spencer Reed from Criminal Minds. That's how he looked in my mind.
That's funny because when you said like an artist killing people, I thought of like every bad guy in Criminal Minds is always like killing women to stage them as dead but alive dolls, or like they always had like some like major drive behind, like there were like 80,000 active serial killers in Criminal Minds at one time, and they all none of them were just killing people. They were all like really elaborate murders.
Who has the time to do these things? I remember when Gone Girl came out and I had like, you know, the short like amazing Amy haircut. And I had so many people be like, you would be just like her. And I'm like, I think that you severely overestimate how motivated I am to do anything. But I absolutely would do that to a man, especially Ben Affleck, because he fucking deserves it.
Yeah, I bet he did, actually. I actually couldn't watch that movie all the way through because I thought she was insane.
Yeah, she's the best. I love her.
I was like, it's too scary in a way. I was like, the fact that she would go to the lengths to like do this, I was like,
the best tweet of all time is, it was actually my Facebook cover photo, and it's just like, I don't think that Ben Affleck understands why he was cast in Gone Girl, and that's what makes it even funnier. Because he did cheat on Jennifer Garner with Blake Lively. So let's remember that. Blake.
That's disappointing. I didn't know that.
This is a gossip.
This is a gossip.
I'm not up on my Blake. I do like Blake Lively, so that's disappointing for me. And I like Jennifer Garner. She's the voice of Mama Llama in the Netflix show Llama Llama.
She gave him a black eye. It was on the set of The Town.
Oh, I haven't watched that movie.
It's where she has a Blake Lively does the really bad Boston accent. Bless up.
Perfect. Okay, well, I had a couple more, but we'll kind of wrap up here, just because we have so many. Maybe I'll just whip through them, you know, like I tend to do. I kind of mentioned that the sequel, so Lady of Rooksgrave Manor, is not really dark, you know, it's more like suspense. But I thought the Company of Fiends, which is like the sequel, but also not, it's like book two in the series, different heroine, different monsters. I thought this bordered a little bit more on dark, but again, it was like not the relationships, like the relationships she was having were like loving and kind and kinky as fuck and amazing, but women were being like murdered, and it was actually a little bit scary. So it's like the workers at the sex theater are being like strangled and like murdered, and I was like, so I don't know, and I don't really know where the line is between where I would call like romantic suspense and dark, but I felt like this one kind of like crossed whatever that line is into a little bit of a darker theme, and I cannot explain it. It's all vibes, much like my review process. Then I was going to talk about Beast by Misha Stone, which is a Beauty and the Beast kind of retelling. Same situation, dude is like the lord of the underworld, kidnaps her, you know, I think it's been a while since I read it, but I think it's a situation where like her dad basically sells her to him to like pay off a debt. And he's like, cool, I'll marry you. And there, it is like dub con, borderline non-con, like a couple times. He like has her chained to the wall. He definitely does things she's like not into. But at the same time, he's like, he runs like a brothel, but all the women are there of their own free, like they choose to be there. It's very important to him that these women are allowed to make a choice. If they ever want to stop doing sex work, they are allowed to stay. Or like, and they make really good money, you know, it's like that kind of thing. So it's like, he has like a woman chained in his fucking bedroom, but all of his like lovely sex workers are like super protected. They basically are like unionized.
Well, we've seen True Blood, Fantasia with Ginger and Eric.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little like, that is kind of a like fucked up situation too. But yeah, so I mean, it was good though, but it's definitely, now that I've read more stuff, I'm kind of looking at that like not as dark as I remember it being. Dark, but like I've read way more fucked up shit nowadays. But still. And then the last one was just, and I think I've mentioned this before, but The Kidnapping of Rowan Sinclair by Ashlyn Drewick. Sorry, my own handwriting threw me off. It's a duet. It is like a Russian mafia dude kidnaps Rowan, who is just like kind of a estranged son of like a billionaire, basically, who like wrongs I think the guy's name is Alexander. His nickname is Sasha, which the nickname Sasha, like I go absolutely crazy when the like bad guy has like a cutesy like nickname that the like other character calls him. Like, here's this, like, murderous mafia dude, tons of internalized homophobia, by the way. But I did think it was, like, the most realistic portrayal of, like, a kidnapping situation. So it's, like, a duet. He does keep him, like, literally chained in a basement for a while. He's trying to not blackmail the dad, but ransoming the dad. Doesn't realize that Rowan is, like, this is, again, one of my favorite tropes. Doesn't realize that Rowan's, like, estranged and his dad basically hates him. has no, and so his dad's basically like, yeah, I'm not paying. And then Alexander's like, why will you not pay for your son? Mm-hmm. Like, then he's offended on Rowan's behalf. He still has him chained in the basement.
But. He's Russian.
Yeah, he's Russian. Yeah.
Sasha's a, like, the nickname for Alexander.
Yeah. And I just love it so much.
I think it's very cute. My friend wants to name her son that, if she ever
I literally, if I could get away with it, would name my son Sasha. I think it is, like, just the most beautiful little name. Mm. But romance novels have probably, like, fucked me up about that.
I want to hold a baby. I feel like holding a baby. Not when I'm sick. Maybe, like, if I was wearing a mask, I'd hold a baby.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Maybe when you're healthy. Mm-hmm. When you're healthy. But anyways, this book's pretty fucking dark, though. Like, a man gets his, like, tongue cut out because he's rude to Rowan, like, in a coffee shop. So, like, Alexander, like, kidnaps him later and, like, cuts his tongue out. But, like, the whole – so, like, book two, I will say trigger warning. Book two – I forget what leads up to this, but book two has Rowan, like, they're together, but Rowan is suffering from, like, serious depression for, like, a third of the second book. Like, it was pretty – like, it did affect me. Like, I don't know if it was an accurate portrayal of depression. I have not been depressed. But it definitely seemed like it didn't seem dramatized to me. It seemed like a very realistic portrayal of mental illness. And it's like a direct result of like what's happened to him. And he's like now he's like happy with Rowan in a sense. But he's also like some fucked up shit happens that hasn't like messed up in the head. So I was like, holy shit. So just a trigger warning on that. But this is a real like it's an MM duet. Again, that's the kidnapping of Rowan Sinclair. And now that we've talked about all these books, I literally have it on my list. I wrote down like 6 books to reread. I'm like, oh, fuck.
You need to. That's what you need to do.
Like, top of the list, Bass Ackwards.
Yeah.
100%. Why do I always reread it? I'm just like, I can't stop. It's so fucking ridiculous. And I'm like,
it's just the name as well telling people like it's just like this is what I'm
reading. Yeah, it's backwards. And for those wondering, I've talked about this before. I always say that because I have a bunch of times. It started out, I'm 99% sure, as a story on the erotic website Literotica. So if you're reading it and you're kind of like, it's an interesting writing style, it's because it was originally written as like one of those types of stories where it was like probably serialized in chapters and written just to arouse. And I think Eris Adderley kind of had to like go back and maybe revise it a little bit, but it still has that original like erotica vibe to it where there's really very minimal plot outside of like he promotes her and he's like,
oh my god,
all right, I'll add more to your paycheck if you keep fucking me every day.
Why didn't you tell me that it looked like there was someone standing behind me in the camera all the time?
Jesus Christ.
I just absolutely put a little poop in my pants. Oh my god, I gotta go.
As we're talking about like dark shit too. Well, actually at that point we were talking about like a 40-year-old man.
Real.
Like boning. Okay, well now I've just talked about it more and now I like really need to sign off and go reread it. Oh, fuck. I also wrote down though, the one you talked about that was like the therapist and the serial killer. Mm-hmm. There's only James has a book where like there's a psychiatrist. It's like book 3 of the Hitman series. It's part of her like, I think it's like the Wages of Sin series. Yeah. But they it's a psychiatrist and a hitman. But the hitman finds out that the psychiatrist is actually like murdering his like serial killer. He's like a psychiatrist to serial killers. They like all know they can come and trust him. And then he just decides like, I'm going to see what it's like to kill people. And I'm going to kill my serial killer clients. And his name is Tobias. And I love it. Oh my God. It's so good. And then the hitman though is like a super, so like Tobias has like a total stick up his ass. And then the hitman is like super fucking chill and just wears like Hawaiian shirts a lot. And he's just like, I kill as a profession. You're killing for fun, bud. Tobias is like, this is science. did you have any other ones that you wanted to whip through really quick?
No. I'm pretty happy with everything that I've told people.
Yeah. Well, I wrote down that Born Darkly, though. That was the one. That was the...
Yeah, I think you would. I think
you'd talk about it
heavily.
Yeah. I definitely jotted that down.
That's never going to end well.
No. It's funny because I actually hate, this is the thing where people don't like to read books where they know too much about like the profession or the like topic, you know, like people who are in like, I don't know. Some people say that the love hypothesis is actually like a rather realistic portrayal of academia. And then I've heard other people who are like in that exact field and are like, this is literally like, they should both be kicked out of their programs. Like, immediately. Like this is not, so I don't know who to believe, but yeah, like because I'm a social worker and I did like counseling classes and stuff and it was drilled into my head, like you can lose your license. You will lose your license for like fucking a client. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I read a book where like a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a social worker like gets intimate with the client, it's like, it's very difficult for me to, even though I'm like, this is a, I can read a fucking book where an 18-year-old runs an underground.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I can read it. And then like two grown consenting adults, like fuck. And just because one was like a psychiatrist, like there's a Nora Roberts book where like she's the social worker to like their half brother who they just realized existed. And then like the older brother has like begins a relationship with her. It's totally like consensual, happy little book. And I was like writing my review. I'm like, what the fuck? She would have lost her job immediately. He would have been taken from their custody. Like I was like, blah. So
points were made.
Yeah, points were made. That should be the title of a podcast with no direction whatsoever. It's just like every episode, you're just like, points were made. Points were made. So. All right, everybody listening, I hope that you enjoyed this episode full of recommendations and rants. Also a good title. And do you agree with my scale from the beginning? I would love to hear your thoughts. Do you have your own dark romance scale? Send it to me. I would love to know. Or just let me know what you consider dark, because my scale is ever-changing. Like, I read King, like, I'm not going to tell you what the scene was unless you look at my stories in, like, the next 3 minutes, which you won't. But there was literally a scene that should have, I mean, it really should be sending S.J. Tilly straight to hell, if hell exists, like, just for writing it. And I just laughed. I except Michaela, I was like, this is unhinged, but, like, I'm unfazed. Mm. And so I'm wondering, like, do your guys' scales, have they... You know, you used to think Fifty Shades of Grey was dark, and now you're reading Haunting Adeline, and you're like, more knife play, please. Like, that? Is it like that? So, and yeah, everybody send well wishes to Michaela to continue her healing process, both mental and physical.
The mental, we're going to need a lot of prayers. A lot of thoughts, a lot of prayers.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want to hear next week. Is it going to be Haunting Adeline? Or have we committed
to next week, I think, is...
Patreon
episode.
You guys should totally subscribe to that to hear Cakes.
But we are scheduling Haunting Adeline because we're doing that. We still have to read a Colleen Hoover book, but Michaela wants to read that around Halloween because it scares the shit out of her. If you have a recommendation for a deep dive book you want a whole episode devoted to, maybe a book you do not want to read but you want us to suffer through, please recommend that. We would love to suffer on your behalf.
We love you. Say hi to your dad from me.
Yeah, she's gonna fuck your dad. Bye, guys. Stay slutty, stay smutty, and read whatever the fuck you want. Whee! Bye.